You're listening to Swimming World Radio. I'm your host, Brent Rutemeller, and today I'd like to share with you an inspirational story that came to us from a retired police officer who worked at a boys' club in Toledo many years ago. The story is about how swimming turned a young boy's life around. Many of us lose track of the life lessons that swimming teaches and the confidence that is gained from mastering the sport. I just thought this story really puts it all in perspective and demonstrates the impact that coaches can have on youth. I received this letter in the mail from Bob Morrissey, who's now a retired police officer after serving 33 years in the force. He said, "Before becoming an officer, I was the athletic director at Toledo Boys Club. I've enclosed a true human interest story that I think your readers would appreciate. I believe swimming saved this little boy from a life of crime. So often I have seen our young people get on the wrong side of the law and destroy their lives. If it wasn't for swimming, I believe this boy would have never made it. At the time, I didn't feel it was a big deal teaching this youth to swim. Later on, I felt proud that I did something to get him on the right track. I won't elaborate on this. I'll just let you read the story." Well, let's go ahead and read his story. Bob goes on to say, "I had some wonderful experiences while working as the athletic director of the Toledo Boys Club. One I will never forget involved a little boy who had the odds against him. His home life was terrible. He wore the same tattered clothes every day. They were all he had. He was 9 years old and could swear like a drunken sailor. The first time I saw Jimmy Bowers, he was standing in the shallow end of the swimming pool, his arms resting on the deck. He stayed in that position for hours, watching the other boys swim. I was the swimming instructor that day. When I was in the pool, I'd carry a soft volleyball, and when a fight erupted, I threw the ball and hit the one who started it. The boys knew if they were hit with the ball, that was their first warning. If they acted up again, they were out of the pool for the rest of the day. I walked around the pool about 6 times and saw this young boy holding on to the side. I bent down and said, 'Hey kid, why don't you come to swimming lessons? You'll be able to swim like those guys.' He looked at me and squinted his eyes, blonde hair hanging over his face. 'Why don't you bleep off and mind your own bleeping business?' I was tempted to reach down and grab him by the hair and pull him out of the water and throw him out of the pool. Instead, I laughed inside. I liked the kid's spirit. I stared at him. He glared back at me. I bounced the ball off his head and started walking around the deck again. From that day on, he was in the pool every day, always positioning himself in the water with his arms resting on the deck. He stayed in that spot. His face never got wet. I walked the deck, and every time I passed him, I dropped the ball on his head. One time, I ignored him, and I didn't drop the ball. I passed by. He looked back. He appeared rejected. I quickly turned and popped him in the head with a ball. I shouted, 'Gotcha!' His face lit up with laughter. I continued to walk the deck. The young boy's eyes followed me the rest of the period. The next day at swimming lessons, I looked into the crowd of boys in the water and I saw the little guy. He tried to hide in the group. I didn't pay any attention to him. I got in the water and explained that the first thing we had to learn was to put our heads underwater and hold our breath. I ducked under and came up. I pointed to the boys. 'Now, you guys drop your heads under like I did.' Everyone in the class put his head under except for Jimmy. He puckered up his face and closed his eyes. He bent forward, but his head wouldn't go under. He tried again, but couldn't get his head under. I made my way through the water to him. I saw him coming, and he raised his arms. 'I don't need your bleep and bleep. I could do it myself.' Hands on my hips, I said, 'Okay, big shot. You swear pretty good, but you're scared to stick your head underwater. You're chicken.' A mean look came over his face. His head quivered, and he immediately forced his head under. I tapped him on the head. 'Now that's better.' He smiled, and he went under again. He kept dunking. I shouted, 'That's great, son, but you got to get on to the next step.' He smiled and looked determined. 'I can do this, bleep. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it.' Days passed, and Jimmy never missed a swimming lesson. He learned every step. I noticed the kid was different from the others. He learned fast, was a natural swimmer. When his arms entered the water on the crawl stroke, they went in like knife blades with no splash. His flutter kick looked like an outboard motor. His streamlined body glided through the water with hardly any resistance. The boy was a diamond in the rough. One day I asked Jimmy, 'Would you help me teach swimming lessons? You're a great swimmer, and I think you could help the other boys. You get in the water, and I'll stand on the deck. I'll explain to the boys what I want them to do. You'll show them what I mean. Will you do it?' 'You're bleeping me, Bob. You really mean it?'
Yes, I mean it. Will you do it? His expression was full of excitement. Sure, I'll do it. What else do you want me to do? Well, if you're going to be an instructor, you gotta quit swearing. Can you stop swearing? Hell yes, I can quit. I promise, I won't swear anymore. Jimmy never missed a swimming class. The boys got into the water and leaned against the side of the pool. I would explain how to glide, kick, pull their arms, and Jimmy would demonstrate. The boys stared with amazement while the young boy swam. They praised him and asked questions. One day a group asked him, "When are we going to get as good as you?" He said, "Keep your bleeping mouth shut and listen to what Bob says, and you'll be good." He looked up at me. He knew he said something wrong. He put up his hands. "I won't do it again," he said. The Junior Olympic Games were coming up in a month. The youngest group was for 12-year-olds. Jimmy watched the swim team practice every day. He studied everything they did. When it was open swim, he imitated their form. I made a phone call to a friend who worked for the City Recreation Department. I explained to him about my 9-year-old swimmer. I asked if I could enter him in the 12-year-old group. He gave me the okay, but warned the young boy would get his ears pinned back. I told him I understood, but I thought it would be a good learning experience for the young swimmer. Jimmy practiced with the swimming team. He worked hard and had the desire to be a winner. I explained to him he would be competing against older boys. He shrugged his shoulders. "It don't matter, Bob." The day of the swimming meet, I took the old bus and drove my team to the city pool. When we got off the bus, I noticed parents were bringing their children to the pool with them and taking seats in the stands. None of my boys' parents were there. Gathering them in a group, we locked hands. I said, "We're in this together. This is our team, and we're going to pull for each other." A familiar voice from the group, "We're going to kick their asses." I didn't say anything for Jimmy. I felt it was a nervous reaction. The swimming meet started. Jimmy sat as close to the pool as he could. He studied the swimmers. His group was called to the starting block. I tapped him on the head. "Jimmy, remember everything we practiced. Relax and do your best." He turned to me and squeezed my hand. I watched him climb onto the starting block. He was so much smaller than the other boys. I wondered if I had made a mistake entering him in the older group. Jimmy showed no sign of being nervous. Threw his small chest out and rotated his arms like propellers. I was uneasy and nervous. I watched the swimmer dive off the blocks. Jimmy hit the water perfectly and was out in front. I thought the bigger boys would catch him. The little guy didn't slow down. Halfway through, he was still ahead. The race looked like a flock of geese flying in their V formation. Jimmy was the leader. He increased his lead and won by a body length. I rushed to him, reached down, and pulled him out of the water. He looked at me and was breathing hard. "Did I do all right, Bob? I did what you told me." "You are perfect. You're my champ. I'm proud of you." Jimmy swam against the winners of the other heats. The boys were determined. He won first place in the 12-year-old division and was awarded a gold trophy. He held that trophy all the way back to the club. When someone asked if they could see it, he'd say, "Just look. Don't touch it." Jimmy didn't run home like the other boys who won trophies to show their parents their prizes. He hung around the club until it closed. I didn't question why he didn't go home. I could tell something was bothering him, though. A few days later, a lady came to the boys' club. She asked if she could talk with me. She then told this story. "Jimmy is a student of mine. The boy has been in constant trouble. He doesn't know who his father is. His mother is selling her body and is a drug and alcohol abuser. Any good the school system does for the boy is destroyed when he gets home. He has a foul mouth and is constantly disrupting the class. Every day he gets into fights." I looked at her and shook my head. "I understand, but how does that affect me?" "Well," she said, "a couple days ago Jimmy came to school and would not take off his coat. I went to his desk and ordered him to remove it. I was ready to send him to the principal because I felt he was going to start cussing. Slowly, he removed it. He had a beautiful swimming trophy hidden under his coat. I nearly made the most terrible mistake of my life. I almost asked, 'Where did you steal this?' But I caught myself." Jimmy pointed at the trophy and showed where his name was engraved on it. This was the first time I ever saw the child smile. He was so proud. I asked him about it, and he told me the whole story. I placed his trophy on my desk so the whole class could see it. Since this happened, the boy has changed. He asked if he could leave the trophy on my desk. I told him as long as he wanted it there, it would stay there. I just want to tell you thanks for taking the time with him." I was puzzled. Thanks? That little guy made me a happy man. Later, I was appointed to the police department. Between raising a family and the job, I lost track of Jimmy. 25 years later, I was working as a detective. The desk sergeant called me over the intercom. "Bob, there's some people here to see you." I walked to the front desk, and there stood a neatly dressed couple with a small child. The man smiled and held out his hand. Right away, I recognized it was Jimmy. He still had that cocky, determined expression. He shook my hand and then looked at his wife. "Mary, this is the man I told you so much about. Bob, this is my wife, and my little girl, Sandra. After you left the boys' club, I kept on swimming. I got a scholarship for swimming and went to college. I earned a degree in engineering and have a good job." He then showed me pictures of his home. He looked back at his wife. "I'll never forget Bob." A warm feeling came over me. It was hard to talk. I tapped him on the head and said, "You made me a happy man, Jimmy. I wonder about you a lot. I never forgot how you took on those older swimmers and won." We talked for a while. When he was leaving, I asked, "How's the language? Have you learned any new words?" He shook his head, smiled, and waved goodbye. Jimmy Bowers is not the real name of the swimmer, but it is a true story. This is Brent Rudemiller for Swimming World Radio, reporting on swimming from around the world.